This evening over in the last time I checked the home built parking area, Mark Giron, I didn't even bother checking your last name. Did I get close?
You're close. It's Mark Giron.
Giron. Change it to Giron, man.
You can call me what you want.
Mark's from the FAA, and he's holding a rally for home builders. It starts at a safety rally for home builders. It starts at 6:30, goes to 8 o'clock or so, I think.
Yeah, we wanted to keep it before the Red Tail show tonight and give everybody an opportunity to get out and see the show.
Mark's an aviation safety inspector with the FAA. He's also a proud owner of an RV6 with a new panel, right?
Well, it's almost new. It's so new, I wasn't able to get it finished in time for AirVenture today.
Yeah.
And I've been working pretty hard and really getting a true understanding of what it's like to be a home builder.
Yeah. It's fun, man.
It is. It's a great time.
You meet good people. Tell me about what... It's your business. I get that. It's your job. But tell me what led you to have to call this thing tonight.
Yeah, so... Last year, we were trying to put together, I come out of Washington, D.C.'s mm-hmm. headquarters, and what I do specifically is a role that's different than what the local flight standards district office does. And so my job specifically is to help in writing policy as it relates to experimental aircraft, and more specifically to amateur-built aircraft. And a lot of the things that are showing up lately as far as the EAA survey that was mm-hmm. conducted in conjunction with the NTSB and the NTSB's report out on amateur built safety sort of reflect what we at the FAA have known for a little bit and are working on trying to improve. And one of the things that I found very valuable, specifically with what we have here at Oshkosh, are the people themselves. There's no other place where I can find an audience that relates specifically to the policy that we're trying to write or improve upon to actually make a difference in safety. Mm-hmm. And so I took it upon myself with the help of some of the management to see if we can try to put together an opportunity for folks to come out, bring a lawn chair, pull it up next to the ice house out there in the home builders. And what better place than the home builder's parking area?
Yeah. Is it a coincidence that that it's not being held over in the the big federal building?
Well, I'll tell
with
you,
the big the podium.
It's a great question because my concern, actually, truly, my concern is that the attendance would not. I'm concerned that the attendance won't be high enough to fill one of those buildings.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I'll take it out to the folks outside. I didn't want to try to take a room away from an important process, and we'll see what happens tonight.
We have a lot of gatherings here on the field. You've probably seen all the parties, types, groups, the RVers and the Mooney people and the Bonanza people, and in the evening at 6:30, sitting around the grass and just hanging out is a whole different vibe from the forums and such. That's why I'm suggesting that maybe you actually will get more out of this in that environment.
That's the hope, and try to get some real candid comments from folks. And, obviously we're looking to try to answer a couple of questions on where we see the future of the policy that the mm-hmm. FAA puts towards experimental, specifically amateur-built aircraft. And, there's a lot of questions. I get the same questions a lot of times, and I think this is going to be a great forum where the folks can tell me more about what I need to know than they'll learn from me.
So my friend Bernie is out here. He's an RV6 pilot, right? And I introduce you to, right? And as soon as I say he's from the FAA, he grabs his wallet, and he thinks for a second, do I have my log books anywhere? Do you get that a lot here?
I do. I do.
That must get annoying.
I was over in the home builders, one of the many booths with all different fasteners and hardware, and then I walk it out and somebody asks, you're here to help, right?
Yeah.
But I know. You get it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think truly there's, tonight might be a real opportunity for folks to see a little different side of what we're trying to do at the FAA. I think it's really important, if there's one message to go out, is that we can't, as the FAA, do this without their help.
Yeah.
And I think tonight is a really big opportunity for folks to actually make an impact on the future of the great opportunity in experimental aircraft.
nobody has an interest in flying unsafely, you know?
Sure.
Because whether it's, you know, you or the pilots. And yet, I noticed when Doug Reeves put up his note on Van's Air Force, you know, about the event tonight, and I think there was a conversation that broke out about mandatory transition training as a possible alternative. I guess it's the mandatory part that people got stuck on. It befuddles me, I have to be honest with you, that people wouldn't want transition training when they're popping into an entirely new plane that they haven't flown before. And yet there's this us against them thing going on.
Well, I think there's, and I do think, I believe in transition training. I think that there's a true need for it. But I think there's a smart way of bringing about how we go about providing that transition training as far as whether it's a requirement, mandatory, or otherwise. Because there are a great group of pilots who may be moving into a different airplane that is not unsimilar from the planes they've been flying and perhaps don't require that mandatory transition training. Mm. So there are some caveats out there where the one-size-fits-all approach may not work.
Yeah. What have you been hearing? You say you hear, you know, a lot of similar things. And like what?
Sure. So transition training has been a huge... those two words have been echoing through my head all week. I had the distinct opportunity to work with EAA earlier in the week and with the Lancers Owners and Builders Organization. I had a chance to sit down and listen to the Vans Aircraft Company last night. And in each case, they've all mentioned without, and they didn't know that I was in the audience in some cases and others they did, but they all recognize a need for transition training. And the accident numbers are such that now the amateur built community is kind of on the stage. And I don't think that that's necessarily where everybody wants to be. But because it is such, we have to write some policy.
Yeah.
And there will be some changes. And I think that the best opportunity to write good policy and make smart changes is to take the input of the folks who do this every day.
And so you go back to Washington, and after you talk to these folks tonight, and you say, hey, you know, Joe from Iowa had a great idea, let's do this, and, or does it end up getting stuck somewhere?
It works just like that.
Really?
It really does. One person can truly make an impact. There are, you know, there are scenarios that you just don't plan for or don't think of, and there's just not enough of us in Washington, not that we want to add more staff or more dollars to the problem, but there's truly not enough of us to cover every angle. And so we rely, just like we do in every aspect of rulemaking, although we hope, you know, the goal is to try to do this without that. But we do take the input of the public, and this is no different. And one person's opinion can really make a big difference. It gives you a new thought.
I had my first flight early June, and I've, you know, been zipping along on the 40-hour phase one. And when I got close to the point where I could maybe get to Oshkosh, but I still had quite a few hours, it was kind of startling how many people said, just go and fake it in your logbook. You know?
Sure.
And I probably could. I've met people here who are here on their phase one.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you any names, man, so don't
We already know them. We already know them.
But, I mean, that's a culture.
It is. Well, and part of that is the safety culture that you hear these words, safety culture, human factors, whether or not the folks are doing the right thing even when nobody's looking. And I think that there is this phase one and phase two operating limitations that you all have on the planes, myself included. There's some things that we can do that might be able to change some of this because you're in your 40 hours. If the aircraft has been proven and you've done all of the performance requirements, what's left to do other than fly time?
That's what I'm doing.
And so flying circles in the sky might not be...
Wait a minute. You're suggesting that maybe there would be a modification that the phase one would be based on specific tests, that if you got the specific test done in 30 hours, you were free to go? And
that's the type of that's the type of thinking and policy that we're looking at.
Yeah.
that it's based on a requirement other than just time. And there may be reasons why we have that time that I'm unaware of, and we're working on that aspect of it too. Because I'm just one small part of the group. I work on the flight operations side. Mm-hmm. But aircraft certification folks might need to see that time on the engine to prove the parts over time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's the type of thoughts. Something about putting another person in the seat next to you during phase one.
Oh, that's a whole nother thing.
And that's where those are the doors we're going to open up. That's what I want to open up tonight. And I want to hear what
that's
people
the
have
required
to say
crew
about
member thing.
Absolutely,
and I've had
it
that
is.
Discussion too, because we were talking. What was I talking about with somebody the other day? I needed to get done. Oh wait, I have a test through various V speeds at different weights, including most aft CG. So I need a fat guy to come sit in my right seat. But is that a required thing? I mean, that's the kind of thing we're zipping back. Hey, thanks for being with us.
It's a good time.
That was awfully good for you to take the time, and I'm really looking forward to this thing tonight. I'm going to be obviously stopping by today, and if you're interested and you're a home builder and you want to talk to Mark, 6:30 tonight, Home Build Camping here is the place.